Morning once again and welcome.
Morning.
What a beautiful, balmy Sunday morning. It was quite warm this morning. And in comparison to what we've been, this cold weather that we've been having, it's what a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you know, once again, we are getting closer and closer to Christmas, the Christmas season. In fact, I'd say we kind of are, it's here, right? Whether we're ready for it or not, it comes every year. You'd think that we'd be ready for it. I'm never ready for it. Megan's always ready for it 6 months in advance. In fact, she's so ready that she actually had to open up one of her gifts because she forgot what was in it. She had bought a gift for someone, and she said, I bought it so long ago, and I wrapped it, and it was driving her, you know, like she was thinking about it, but she kept saying to me, I can't remember what's in that gift. So, of course, she ripped the wrapping paper off. And then she remembered, and then she had to rewrap it. So there are some of us who are very organized and are ready way ahead of time. And then there's people like me who, you know, I tell myself every year, you know, why does Christmas surprise you? It comes every year at the same time. So, you know, in the natural, we see all kinds of different people. And in most cases, if you've been to the stores in the last week or so, you see many people rushing around, you know, they're busy with all kinds of Christmas preparation. And, you know, if you watch them and you see the things that they're looking for, sometimes just the smallest little things that is important to them, you'd almost think that this was the very first time Christmas was being celebrated. You think that after a while, you wouldn't bother with all of that stuff. You know, if we had to put on a, you know, for example, how many years ago we put on an anniversary, was it Fox Valley? Homecoming, and I mean, we just, you know, we did all kinds of things through as a community that we, you know, when we put in the effort, we did all kinds of stuff. We had a really good parade, which is, how many of us know, it's a lot of work to organize and do a parade. And you know, everybody, the whole community came together and worked in it, and it was a huge success, as I'm sure it was in other communities as well. But my point is, if we had to do that every year, how long would it take before people would say, you know, I don't want to do a float? In fact, it wasn't much longer after that, and we were confronted with doing a float. And it was like, you know, we didn't really want to do it again, even as a church, because it is a lot of work. So you'd think, as you see people rushing around and everything just has to be perfect for Christmas, you think it's like it's the first time, you know. It's like they haven't done this before. But that's awesome, you know. You think we'd grow tired of all of the effort that we put in to making this one day just as blessed as we can, right? We do put in a lot of effort. And it's that time of year that you and I, or at least some of us, I would say the majority of people, if they're going to buy a gift for someone, they want to go out of their way and make it the best possible gift that they can get that person. And sometimes they'll go above and beyond to get just that perfect gift for their loved one. And why? You know, just for the pleasure of seeing them open up the gift. You know, what's in it for us? It can be a lot of headache and a lot of running around, a lot of telephone calls, a lot of all kinds of things, a lot of money out of our wallets. For what purpose? Just to see the pleasure on Emily's face when she opens up that thing that was something she really desired, right? Am I right? And, you know, let's face it, Christmas is not about you. It isn't about you at all. It's about others. It's about bringing joy to others. Without your family and friends, let me ask you this. Would you celebrate Christmas? If you had no one, would you run around and do all this for who? For just you? No, I don't think very many of us would. We wouldn't go through all the steps that we go through. So everything we do around Christmas time is really for the joy of others. It's for other people. Christmas is about people. And so the true heart of Christmas, and this is where I'm going this morning, is really to give and not expect anything in return except the joyful response of the one who is receiving. Right? And this type of giving that I'm talking about this morning really does reflect the heart and the nature of our Heavenly Father. The very delight of the Father's heart is to see all His children what? blessed. We sang in that song this morning, Restful Increase. He overcame my debt. He overpaid my debt. And now his heart's delight is just to see me blessed. That is the delight of the heart of the Father. His whole delight is to see you blessed. Just like you at Christmas time, your delight, and especially if you have children, little children, grandchildren, you delight in seeing them blessed and seeing them respond joyously to your gifts. And that makes you feel good. That makes you feel like everything that you've done to prepare for this moment was worth all the effort. It was worth the sacrifice or the money or whatever you've put into it. When you see just that one look on that child's face, or doesn't have to be a child, it could be an older person, and you know it was worth it. Do you think it's any less with our God? One look on your face, Ivy, your smile, and God gets happy. It's true. So the very delight of the Father's heart is to see his children blessed. Now I'm going to spend some time with this, because we know this, but do we really know it? You know, long before any one of us was ever born, just like Megan, he's a planner. God's a planner. That's a gift, Megan, by the way. Our Heavenly Father planned and prepared a gift for us. A gift that he had to go above and beyond to obtain for us. A gift that need not be given over and over and over again, because this gift does not grow old. It does not become obsolete or outdated, or it does not break down or lose anything. It is a perfect gift that prevails and just keeps on giving and giving and giving for all time and all eternity. Anybody here got that? Did you buy that gift for your loved one, Diane? Can you find a gift like that? A gift that just keeps giving and giving and giving? No, we buy gifts. They're in the natural, and they produce a little bit of joy for the season, for a moment. But you know what? After a while, it kind of is forgotten. And then you're looking forward to next Christmas. This gift never grows old. This gift never... It keeps or quits giving. It continually gives to you. And the joy and the gift that I'm talking about here today, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. All right? So this gift is given to all people for all time and all eternity. And this gift is completely free. If it wasn't free, it's not a gift. Do you understand that? If there's any price tag attached to it, it's not a gift. This is a gift. And the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, that if you then, I'm going to bring it back into the light of the natural, of where you and I are, because I need you to understand a truth this morning that I know will continue to bless you and bless you, and it'll give you joy and blessing all throughout the whole year. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, and I want to pick it up in verse 11. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. If you then, being evil, we know this scripture, right? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now, very interesting, isn't it? If you and I, the Bible says, being evil, and we know how to be a blessing, or how to be good, or give good things to our own natural children. And I know that most of us in here have children, or Emily, well, she doesn't have children, but she can understand because she is still in a situation where she has a parent. So the Bible says that if we, being evil, and we know how to bless our own natural children, how much more Our Heavenly Father knows how to bless you and I. Now, I want to ask us some questions today, okay? All of us have parents, or you know what? Maybe our parents have passed on to be with the Lord. But nevertheless, we all have memories of our parents, our moms, our dads. Did our own earthly parents want to see us blessed and doing well in all areas of our lives? Of course. That's a no-brainer. That is an answer that everybody should know. Yes. Why? Because we all love our children. And we, all of us here, want our children to be blessed in this life. When our children suffer in this life, I'm going to tell you something. As parents, we suffer too. If I know my child is suffering, I'm suffering. If I know my child is hungry, I too feel the pain. Why is this? Because our children are a part of us. They are flesh of our flesh, bone of our bone. Our children are a part of us. And no matter how old our children get or grow, their happiness, their well-being is still just as important to us as it ever was. Right? And whether you or I am aware of it or not, my own state of being, my own state of well-being and happiness and contentment and peace in this life is largely controlled by my children. Can I hear an amen? Those of us who have children know what I'm talking about. When you know your children are doing well, they are blessed, they're not suffering need, lack, disease, whatever the calamity might be, you have peace. As long as that child is suffering in any way, you do not have the peace you should have in this life. So we are connected with our children in such an intimate way. And sometimes it's like we don't even understand that. And everyone who has had children will say, yes, it's true. And yes, there are parents out there that might say, no, I never felt that. But those are unusual parents. That is not the norm, is it? Most parents have that connection with their children. And their whole well-being is largely caught up in that child or children. Amen? Okay, so you're still on board with where I'm going this morning. So your state of well-being is controlled by the state of their well-being. How many of us here today who are parents can honestly say that when your children suffer, that you don't suffer with them? Or which parent here today would rather suffer hunger themselves rather than see their children go hungry? We've seen that on TV, where those poor countries where they don't have enough to feed their children. Well, guess what? Parents don't eat the food. They give it to their children. And I guarantee that all of us in this room would do the same thing. I know Josh and Megan haven't got a baby yet, but you know what? I guess they do. And it will become as real to them, and they will have a better understanding of what it is like to be a parent. So we would rather suffer ourselves rather than see our children suffer. Or what parent would not alleviate or take away any pain or discomfort in his child if it was in his power to do so? We're limited in what we can do. But if it was in the power of your hand to alleviate pain and suffering, maybe through a terminal illness or some, who knows, all kinds of pain. Lots of things cause pain in our lives and even in children's lives. But if it's within the power of your hand as a parent to alleviate that pain and suffering, would any of us withhold that? Of course not. Or what parent would not take upon himself any terminal illness and suffer for his child? Let him, in fact, give up his life so his child may live. And we, now stop, and I'm going to say this again, being evil, know how to be good to our children. Know what good is to our children. We being evil, now we're evil, and we would do that for our child. How much more God, who is not evil? Can you imagine how good he wants to be to you? You see, we see it in the light of the natural and how we would do it with our children. But God is good. He is not evil. He has no evil to give. So even at your best, guys, God is way better. And you would think, well, I would give everything to my kid. I would bless my child. You can't even come close to what God would want to do to you, because we are evil. And yet, even though we are evil, we still give good and know how to be good to our children. How much more our Heavenly Father in heaven will give good things to those that ask him. What is this saying to us? There is something about a parent-child relationship that is much, much greater than evil. There is something about the relationship between a parent and a child. In other words, you and I are not perfect human beings. We can all say amen to that. And even in our natural tendencies towards evil, because we all have sin in the flesh, you know, I mean, none of us is perfect. But even in our sinful tendencies or the sin in the flesh towards evil, you and I will always do the very, very best that we can by our children. That is something that is on the inside of us. It is in us. I don't know how it's the nature of God. You will always, always strive to do your best by your children. You may not always do your best by others, but by your children, you will strive to do good and to do your very best. Can I hear an amen? And it's never a matter of whether they deserve it, whether they were good enough to get your good things or your approval. That has nothing to do with it. Why? Because they are your children and you love them. That's the reason, the only reason. And through this love, and because of this love, you will always, 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 always desire the best for them in life, no matter what they do, no matter where they go, no matter what they get involved in. Your heart as a parent is always for the good of your child. You want the best. So if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, do you know that love always gives good? God so loved, he gave Jesus. Love good gives good things. How much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? Now, how is it that you and I are able to receive these good things in the natural? Take a look in the natural. How do you receive, Megan, from your dad, who you know would give everything up for you? Megan's an only child, by the way, and her daddy is, yeah, she's very important, very special to her daddy. And her mom as well, but I'm just saying I see that relationship between her and her dad. And so, you know, how are you able to receive this from your dad, all this, these things he wants to lavish on you? Well, you just do. It's dad. We don't have a problem receiving from our dad. Why? Because daddy loves me. Daddy's giving to me. Has nothing to do whether I'm good or not good. My daddy loves me. And he will just be good and give good no matter what. Isn't that how dads are? Dads are not answering me this morning. They're looking down like this. Amen. That's the heart of a father. They're dads. And they love their children. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is you are more able to receive good things from your parents than you are from God. Why? Because you know mom and dad. You've seen them love you. That you've seen them lavish on you everything that they possibly could and give you the things that you needed when you were growing up. You don't get up in the morning and wonder and worry whether mom and dad are going to love you today and feed you and nourish you. Or those thoughts don't even cross your mind. You just expect to be fed. You expect mom and dad to look after you. That's a natural thing. Now, we should never take that away from our children. Children, it's childlike faith is what it is. But yet when it comes to God, who is not evil and who knows how to give us much, much better things, we're like a little leery to receive it. And God is only giving for the same reason we give, because he loves you so much and he wants the best for you in every area. And guess what? Even though we're limited, God isn't. So no matter what the pain is in your body, no matter what's going on, he can give good. He can fix it. You know, our parents are limited to what they can fix for us. They would love to be able to do more, but we know in the natural we're limited. God is unlimited. And he loves us so much. And so what I'm saying is it's the parent-child relationship. It's the spirit of being known you are a child. And the spirit of sonship is where we fail in receiving from our Heavenly Father. We don't see ourselves as children of God. We see ourselves more as servants of God. Well, the servant doesn't know what his master is thinking. A child shares in everything. The child just expects things to be given. Why? Because it's my daddy. And whatever it is mine. I mean, eventually whatever daddy has, we get anyways, right? That's the way it works. And it's the same as with our Heavenly Father. So if we, being evil, know how to be good and how to lavish these things on our children, how much more our Heavenly Father, who is not evil, who is perfect? Now, I haven't even gotten to where I want to go today. This passage of scripture that we're talking about, where it says that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Father give good gifts unto those who ask them? This same scripture is found in Luke chapter 11, verse 11, and I want us to go there this morning. Luke 11, 11. Luke 11, 11. Which son shall ask any of you that is a father for bread? And will the father give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? Now, I know that there's a symbolic... These things that are being mentioned symbolize things that we believe God gives us. And I'm not going to get into that this morning because I want to bring something else out of this scripture. But what's saying here, if your child comes to you and asks you for an egg or a piece of bread, are you going to give him a rock? Of course not. No matter, even if he disobeyed, even if he misbehaved, if he's hungry, you're going to give him a piece of bread. You know, if he asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a serpent. And if he asks for an egg, you're not going to give him a scorpion. You're going to feed and nourish and provide for your children, no matter what. It says here, if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, there it is again, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give what? Give what? The Holy Spirit. It doesn't say good things in this passage. Jesus is interpreting it for you. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts or good things unto your children, how much more will our Father give unto us Not good things in this passage, but the Holy Spirit. Now, my point in saying that is this. If you have the Holy Spirit today, you have all good things. Now, we don't see it that way, but it's the truth. If you have the Holy Spirit, and the Bible even says, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are not of His. But if you have the Holy Spirit here today, you have all things. You've been given all things. So you and I have already been given the very life of Christ. Because we have the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is the Spirit of life. Okay? So, and you know, so many people in the church today, so many Christians really believe that the life that the Holy Spirit imparts into us is eternal life, which it is, but it's only for the sweet by and by. We are safe now from going to hell. We are on our way to heaven. We have this life. But oh my goodness, it is so much more than that. It is so much more than that. And as for now, we sometimes get the idea God is not all that concerned about your earthly life. And yet, it contradicts the Bible because it says if you are evil and you know how to give good gifts to your children, do you say to your children, well, you know, it's all right, you can do without, someday it'll be gone. Someday that pain will be gone. So we're not going to bother trying to look after it. No, you rush him to the doctor, you get him the best medicine that you can. You take them home, you put them in bed, you rub their heads, you do whatever you have to do to alleviate the pain. You don't say, well, you know, just give it a couple of months. Either you're going to die and the pain will be gone, or it'll just go away on its own. Is that how you have your attitude towards your children? No, but yet we say God does. That he's not concerned about your earthly life, about the fact that you have needs and you lack in many areas. You know, so then tell me this. If faith without works is dead, how can the Spirit of life be in you without demonstrating life? Or be alive in us, through us? Even the Apostle Paul wrote the book of James, or the Apostle who wrote. I wasn't sure if Paul did. I think they say James did, but there's never been any proof. But even the one who wrote the book of James said in Chapter 2, verse 15, it says, if your brother or if your sister be naked and lacks daily food. Now, what is naked and lacking daily food? Is that a spiritual condition? No, it's a very natural condition. If you have nothing to wear and nothing to eat, it says here, if your neighbor lacks these things, and you say, oh, depart, that's all right, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and you do not give them the things that are needful. You don't give them any food. You don't give them any clothes. You just say, oh, be blessed, and you send them away. The Bible says, what does it profit? And the Lord, the Holy Spirit showed me this in the light of having the Spirit of life, the very life of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. And he's just there. And we're dying in this natural life, but that's okay. Be joyful, be blessed, and not give us the things that we need in this life. What does it profit? That's what the Holy Spirit said to me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 28 says it this way. It says, say not to your neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give when you have it by thee right now. In other words, when your neighbor comes to you with a need and you say, well, no, you go away and come back tomorrow and maybe I'll give it to you tomorrow. It says, don't say, you know, go away and come back and when you have it with you right now, when you have the means to bless. Now, if you and I, now listen up, are told not to withhold good things. You and I who are evil are told not to withhold good things. And it doesn't even say children here. It says neighbors. This is God's wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Do not withhold good things from your neighbor if they come to you when you have it in your hand to give it to them. Do you think the Holy Spirit is exempt from his own word? Do you think the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, is going to withhold life from you?
and you are his children, much less his neighbor? No, he is not exempt from his own word. If God tells you and I, who are evil, not to withhold anything good from our neighbors, do you think he's going to withhold anything good from his own children? From you? Not a thing. No good thing. Psalm chapter 89 or 84 says, no good thing does he withhold from those who are upright. Who's upright? Those of us who are in Christ. The Holy Spirit that God has given, this gift, this spirit of life. It is the spirit of life. You need to understand what you have. Every calamity in your life, every disease, everything that comes with old age, every diminishing of life, whether it's to do with your finances, everything about you, anything that is depleting, is under the curse. Okay? Is under the curse. What is the curse? Death. And I've explained that before. Everything in the natural is on its way out. Jesus interrupted that through his death. And he gave us the gift of life. Spirit of life lives on the inside. You need to see it differently. It's not just a sense of, yeah, someday I belong to God and someday I'm going to go. No, no. You have the spirit of life living in you. Just like you had the curse, now you ought to be going every day getting more and more alive. That's what God wants. That's the best he wants for you. Instead of decrease, you're increasing in every area of life, be it your mind, be it your money, be it your health, be it your longevity, your life, your youthfulness. God gave you life. And the reason we're experiencing anything in this life, it's because of death. Amen? I mean, where does sickness and disease come from? It's a curse. It's all part of death. Poverty is part of death. Everything has been changed now that he's given us the spirit of life. My goodness, no wonder it says that how much more will your Father give you good things, which is the spirit of life. Wow. You need to meditate on the fact that you have the spirit of life, the life. Which life do you have in you? The life of Jesus. So what is death? I was trying to explain to Megan that darkness is only a lack of light or absence of light. What is death? It is the absence of life. You apply life to death, death comes alive. Like it's darkness always dispels, or light always dispels the darkness. It is more powerful, just like life is more powerful than death. So I don't care what you're going on in your, what's going on in your life. If it's death in any way, you have life in you. You need to bring that thing back to life. Whatever it is, it's in your hands. God's already given it to you. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. The thief cometh but for to kill, steal, and to destroy. Now, the thief can't come and steal from a man who has nothing. You have life. And he knows it. And he wants to steal the life from you. No, no, no. You having done all, you stand. You know what you've got on the inside of you. So death is just a lack or an absence of life. Whether it's in your body, the Bible says he will also quicken your short-lived, perishable, mortal bodies by the spirit of life that's within you. Don't worry about your bodies. The life is in you to quicken your body, make alive. If it's your finances, the Bible says he brings increase. He blesses. So no matter what the trial is that you are facing, the life that's in you, Emily, the spirit of life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? It's the curse of death. It is death that is at work on the earth. And the law of the life of the spirit that lives in you, Megan, has set you free from that law. And the next time someone wants to bring death across your path or say, yes, you know, this just all goes with aging and this is what happens when you get to be this age, or that's what happens when you climb a ladder and fall off, or, you know, no, 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 no. That's all under the law of sin and death. I'm set free from that. I live now under the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. His life is in me. So no matter what the trial is that you are facing, the life, the spirit of life is the good that God has given. It is the provision he has placed on the inside of you. He's already released it. He's not going to take it back. He's given it to you as a gift. And if you only knew what you had, if you only knew. God has poured out his spirit of life into our hearts. And that's why Jesus even came. Jesus came to make us be able to receive the Holy Spirit. God always wanted to have to bless us and to have give us the Spirit of life. And Jesus made the way possible. He did it. God did it righteously and justly. Why? Because Jesus took all of our sin away. And now the Holy Spirit can dwell in us. Remember the story of Noah and the ark, and he sent forth the dove. The dove is a picture, it's symbolic of the spirit of life. And remember when Noah first opened up the window and he sent the dove out, the dove came back. Why did the dove come back? He found new life. The Holy Spirit cannot alight where there's death. He is not like the raven, who's a vulture and eats dead things. The Holy Spirit does not sit on dead things. He sits on those of us who are in Christ. We have life, and he brings life. So he continually bears witness with your heart and my heart. The Bible says he cries, Abba, Father. What does the word Abba mean? Daddy. Main things the Holy Spirit does on the inside of us, and it's because I think God knew that when you don't have the spirit of sonship, when you don't understand that our Heavenly Father is like our natural Father, but in such a much greater way. And when we don't see God as our Father, we have a hard time receiving. And so the Spirit of life, one of the first things he does on the inside is it says he bears witness that we are the children of God, and he continually cries in our hearts, Abba, Father. It is the Holy Spirit who opens up our eyes and our understanding to understand God. He takes the things that are of God, he shows them to you. He is everything we need to receive from God. If you are here today and you feel like you just can't receive from God, you've tried in the past and you just, you know what? That's what the Holy Spirit is for. He knows why you can't receive. And you just ask him to help you. Open up your eyes and your understanding to show you if it's the love of God you need manifest or if it's the goodness of God. I don't know what it is. He knows. He helps us in our weaknesses. He knows the areas we need to see a bigger revelation of the love of God, or we need to see God as our Father. He knows all these things, and he's interested in his whole job, so to speak. I hate to use the word job, is to bring you into that life and to give you the very best life. That's why God sent him here, to give you the very best life on this earth, not just when we get to heaven. His job is here to do that. Why? To delight the heart of the Father. God derives much pleasure out of seeing his children blessed because he is wrapped up. We are one with God. We are bone of his bone. We are his body. He's the head. And when the body's hurting, the head hurts, just like us and our children. And so you've got to get to see that God is trying so hard to get his good provisions to you. And we need to understand this and just open up and receive them. There's nothing we can do to earn them. Then it's not a gift any longer. Amen? So no matter what the trial is in your life, God has poured out the Spirit into your hearts. He is crying, Abba, Father. He bears witness that we are the children of God. He also, Romans 5:5 says, he has shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. How important, do you realize how important that is? Because if we didn't know the love of God, we could not receive from God. And so the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. He brings life to you through all of these different areas and means. You don't even understand how this life is produced through you and in you. The Bible says out of your innermost being is going to flow life. Don't look to God. The life is in you. Don't look to God to bring life to your situation. Life is in you. You need to let it out. You need to trust that the Spirit of life is already in you. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. And Jesus kept his promise. Remember, we started the whole sermon here with saying, would you not take the place of your child if he was suffering or in pain? Would you not give up your food so that your child could eat? Well, you know what? Guess what? He did just that. He gave it all up to feed you, to give you life, to give you healing. He took your disease. He did it all. And he freely gave you the spirit of life. And you know, the last thing I want to say in closing this morning is this. And as I was thinking about this late last night, I was thinking, you know, Jesus didn't just give us life. When Jesus went to the cross, he died. Okay? Did he not? We believe Jesus Christ died. He died our death. Now, before Jesus died our death, he had life. The Bible says in him was life. He was the light of the world, and in him was life. Without him, there nothing that was. In other words, he's the life of everything. He created all things. But when Jesus came to the earth, he had life. He was filled with life. Then he took upon himself our death, and he died. He did die. And the Bible tells us that in Christ, you and I died. So now he died. And by the Spirit of life, the same Spirit, the Bible says that raised Jesus back to life after he died, is now in you and he is in me. Right? Okay, so life. Jesus had life. He gave up his life and he took upon himself our death. Now the Spirit of life raised Jesus up. Now, what the Holy Spirit showed me last night was God doesn't just give you life. He gives you resurrection life. The big difference. He gives you restoring life. In other words, you are going to need restoration. Your body is going to need to be resurrected. There's things in your life that need to come back to life that have died. So now we not only just have life, we have restoration life. We have resurrection life. So no matter what it is that looks like it's dying, if this life raised Jesus out of the grave, it's going to be able to raise your bank balance up. It's going to be able to raise your body to where it should be and give it the life that it needs. You have resurrection life, not just life. You see, to believe that just someday we're going to die and go to heaven, that's life. We have the resurrection, the power life, the power that brings things back from the dead. Amen? Amen. Give the praise to God. Wow. What? No wonder the Bible says his gift is unspeakable. And it is. Unspeakable gift of life. So God has gone to great lengths, above and beyond, to get this gift to you. Jesus demonstrated what God went through to give us this gift of resurrection life. That you and I, his children, would be blessed and have a good life even while we're on the earth. And so, in closing this morning, I just want to say this. We need to learn to speak words of life into our circumstances. Never allow words of death or words of lack to come out of your mouth. And I know that's not easy. But you know what? You will never change your words until you change your heart. See, it all begins with meditating, thinking on the love of God, thinking on the goodness of God, thinking on the gift that he's given us. And after, the more you meditate on it, the more you allow the Holy Spirit of life to open up your eyes to see that, the more it'll just effortlessly flow out of you. You will speak life. You will not speak death any longer. And it will not be because you're trying not to. It'll be because that's who you are. The Spirit of life is now active on the inside of you. And when you begin to speak that life because you believe it, now it begins to be powerful. You're speaking life all around you, to your children, to your jobs, everything, your body. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer.